بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to our beloved listeners from Radio Islam as well as from the listeners that are tuned in via Sirius FM 105.7. I am so happy to be back on radio. Last week, you know, many of us obviously were celebrating Eid and still recovering. Inshallah, may Allah accept all our efforts this Ramadan, and may we continue to be good and be doing good deeds, and may Allah accept from us, inshallah. Can you believe it's already 6 months over? Yesterday, schools closed. Half the year is gone, and report cards came home from madrasa and from schools. And today, the topic that I'm going to be discussing is how much pressure is too much pressure. So when the report cards came, was your praise something that your child felt good about? Did you tell your child, okay, mashallah, I'm so proud of you, well done, you're doing your best? Did you tell your child, this is not good enough, I expect you to get all A's? Or did you maybe tell your child, I'm not happy, you punish, you cannot do this the entire holiday, you need to study? You know, I'm sure as parents, it is really the hardest job in the world. You obviously want what is best for your child. And when you are praising children or you're criticizing them, obviously you want to give your child the best of both worlds, in the sense of education and in recreation and everything that it is. When it comes to the development is holistic. But the words that we use as parents, as educators, as caregivers is so, so, so important. Too much praise, not too good, bad for the ego. Builds too much ego. No praise at all, a child may feel left out and that you do not care. Something that's just, by the way, oh, okay, you did fine, and then just move on, also not good. The child feels that, am I not worthy of your time and for you to sit and tell me that I did my best? So it's so difficult when it comes to try and get your child to reach their full potential. The words that you use, the actions that you follow up those words with are so important. Again, children also of different ages expect encouragement in different ways. I mean, for a little child, when they excel in a sport or they excel in some extracurricular activity or in school or madrasa, and you could treat them with maybe a little gift and they're happy. With a child who's older, you know, maybe they'd feel like, oh, so you're buying my affection. It's very, very difficult. So to help us understand our youth better in the complexities of how much pressure is too much pressure, I'm very pleased to have my guest today to be Junaid Bayat from KZN. He is a life coach who's very, very passionate in empowering the youth, empowering parents, empowering people in the field of education, so that hopefully our youth can grow up to be a healthy, well-rounded future generation, inshallah. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Junaid Bayat, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Aisha, and the listeners. I'm very excited. Excellent topic.
I can hear you very excited, because you know, when it comes to education, I think you and I can never ever talk enough, because there's so many angles, so many spheres, so many aspects to youth empowerment. But you know, recently I know you tagged me on a post on Facebook that really alarmed me. You know, it's good that you did that, obviously, because you know, it makes parents and caregivers realize that, you know what, how much pressure is too much pressure, you know, especially when it comes to parents that obviously are high achievers themselves and they want their child to excel. Where do you draw the line?
Sister Aisha, before I go any further, I just want to introduce myself to the listeners, especially so they know who exactly Junaid is.
Okay, you know, go for it.
You know, you can say life coach and it's kind of too broad and just so just for the listeners, let me just quickly tell you who is Junaid and why am I speaking to you, speaking to the audience about this topic. So I've studied the human mind for over 18 years. My background is in technology. I used to work for Transnet for 15 years. I used to design email systems and networks. I got tired of it and I started doing what I used to do part-time. And that was, I used to coach kids. A lot of, you know, colleagues, friends used to bring their kids to me. Junaid, my son is struggling in math, can you help? Or Junaid, my daughter just failed. Or this is happening, we're having this issue at home, can you help? And, you know, I that was what I was doing part-time, and I decided to do it full-time. And since then, I've actually, I started doing coaching full-time in 2009. Mm-hmm. And I've authored several books. And one of the big ones was the parenting book on making sense of different personality types and learning styles. So for the last 18 years, I'd say I've been very actively involved with kids to an extent that my coaching programs, I've now coached over 110,000 kids. Alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed me with that, yes.
Subhanallah.
And, you know, I've coached over 10,000 parents. I've coached, you know, I support over 8,000 schools.
Mm-hmm.
I do coaching for...
No, Junaid, just to interrupt you there, that's why I have you here now, empowering me and my listeners on Radio Islam as well as on Sirius FM, the listeners that are tuning in there. So now you're going to be coaching us, inshallah, for free and telling us
Absolutely.
You know, your experience when it comes to parents who come to you and they complain that my child is just not doing good enough. And then when you're sitting with their child and their child is saying, you know, Junaid, I'm trying my best. Or Uncle Junaid, you know what, whatever I do, my parents are not happy.
Yeah.
So I just need to ask you, you know, something that I tell parents all the time when we deal with parents, when it comes to parent interviews and Parents Day, you know, telling your child, be the best, is not as important as telling your child, you know, do your best.
Yeah.
That is so different. That is so different. Be your best. Do your best. Be your best for who?
You see, the key here is we need to go to the root cause, right? So if you look at it, it's basically coming down to poor parenting strategies based on the cycle that we've grown up in, especially parents of today.
Mm-hmm.
So how did we grow up? It was tough times, difficult times, you know, there was not that much to do. Whatever our parents and elders or teachers told us, we did it without, you know, even blinking an eye. We just took it as the gospel. You know, it came from somebody big. We have to do it.
Mm.
Today, the ball game is totally changed. The kids in the 21st century, they are in a very fast-paced world, right? Things are moving very rapidly. They are not coping socially, they're not coping academically, which is what we're going to speak about.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we as parents, we overcompensate. So we try to do, you know, more than what is needed for the kids. And generally, you'll find what happens is when we overcompensate, we're mollycoddling the kids. We're doing everything for them that they are unable to do anything for themselves,
mm-hmm.
which is leading to many of the mental issues that kids are having. Now, if I would, you know, I just want to quote some stats, right?
Sure.
In South Africa, and this is from the World Economic Forum, I pulled some stats. 3 out of every 4 kids in South Africa is having mental issues,
mm-hmm.
right? Over 79% of these kids never ever get any assistance or any help on dealing with these issues.
Now, Junaid, before you carry on, when you're saying mental issues, let's just make it clear to the listeners that when we're saying mental, we're talking about anxiety, we're talking about possible depression, we're talking about low self-esteem, because, you know...
We're talking... Yeah,
yes.
Okay, those are the common ones, right? Then you've got academic expectations, you've got bullying, which is huge, you mentioned the anxiety, worry, the fear. The worry, a child, this is where I did some research, right? A child in school, an average child in school, is constantly worrying. Am I good enough? Am I good enough to fit in? Am I the right, you know, blend of skin color? They're going through so much of worry, it's unreal. Things we never ever thought of. Apart from that, in school, they currently, you know, there's a lot of sexting going on. Then the bullying is on another level where it's even gone online. Then we've got, and you know, this is even in, especially in, amongst our Muslim communities, sex and relationships. Now, I know it's a taboo topic, right, for especially a lot of Muslims, but let me tell you, I've been into Muslim schools. I've dealt with kids as young as 11, 10, even 8 years old who were actively involved. You know, they're in relationships at the age of 10, 11, and 12.
That's true. Those are shocking statistics, but it's the truth.
That's the reality. Now, the sad reality is, what is happening is in our schools, and especially in our Islamic schools, in our communities, we want to sweep it under the carpet. you know.
I think it'll be more like overall way things want to be swept, or you know, under the carpet. But you know what I also, you know, again, you know, just my opinion. You know, we say the the importance of parental involvement in all areas of your children's lives. I think obviously as your children get older, then it's not so much involvement, but I would think more parental guidance. Because if from the beginning, from the onset, you've laid that foundation that, listen, this is what is okay at home and this is what is not going to make me happy, then your children know, they know their boundaries. And that guidance that needs to come when the child's older would make it easy for the child to come to you and communicate, because that's ultimately what it's all about, open communication.
100%. Let's talk a little bit about this, right, where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to talk about how our kids' identities are shaped.
Mm-hmm.
There's four key parts that actually shape a child's identity as they're growing up. And the first part is always at home. And I call this, if you think of a big plus, you know, a big plus.
Mm-hmm.
So right on the top left-hand, you know, that quadrant, I call that the parent trap, because that's where identity starts getting shaped. Now, how do we shape, and why do I call it the parent trap, is parents make the mistake of telling the kids what to do and what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go there. Don't hang around with these people. You know, don't smoke. Don't come late. Don't be this kind of person. So we need to stop telling them what to do. Instead, we need to now start teaching them what are the consequences of their choices and actions.
Mm.
So we need to teach them how to actually be able to make better choices on their own. We should not choose for them. You can tell them, listen, Vai, smoking is bad for you. Right?
Mm.
If you're going to smoke, you're going to be seen, you know, everybody's going to see you as this type of a person, and you're going to have bad health, and there's consequences to it.
Mm.
If you don't smoke, you got good health, you know, there's also good consequences to it. So we need to rather teach consequences instead of telling them what to do. That's one of the biggest traps parents fall into. Then the other thing, you know, when it comes to the academics, my simple message to parents is this. Just remember, not every child is a high performer. In fact, to give you statistics, I work with high performers, and I work with high performers globally. There's only 2% of high performers. Only 2%. So not every child is going to be up there. Because a lot of parents, because of the lack of opportunities we had, and, you know, because of the situation we grew up in, we want our children to be the best at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is leading them to become so frustrated, and now what happens is they start turning to other things.
Mm-hmm.
This is where now start getting into this relationship, somebody I can talk to, where I can vent out.
Mm-hmm.
Now they start, you know, start using language. Then you also get the where they now start getting into drugs and alcohol, because they just want to numb reality.
Exactly.
When they come home, where home's supposed to be their safe haven, where they're supposed to be at, you know, at peace, be free to be themselves, this is where one of the key things is, how do you know when there's too much pressure? One of the things is, you know, when you're constantly criticizing, and a lot of kids do just, you know, they tend to focus on everything bad. I'll give you an example. You spoke about the report cards that come in, Bibi Aisha.
Yes, yes.
You know, a child will come with a report card, and the parent will look at this report card, and the child got 3 A's, maybe a B, and 1 D.
Mm.
The first thing they go is, what happened with this 1 D? You're not even looking at the 3 A's, the child, and you go, what happened here? And you're only focusing on the bad. You're only looking at all the wrong.
That
you know?
Is so true. And you know, Junaid, you know, we always talk about, when we talk about communication, there's so much of your communication that is non-verbal. So already, when you're holding that report card, your body language already told your child, I'm not happy, or I'm very happy. And your child's already, you know, psyching him or herself up to, oh no, now what? It takes a lot of guts. I mean, we don't realize that the child could be in grade 1 or your child can be in matric. When that report card comes, this child is on his or her nerves.
100%.
It's very stressful.
Body language also, this is another big mistake of parents, is the parent always got this wrong body language. Now, just to put it into you know, something that they can understand.
Mm.
In communication, the words that we speak is only 7%. of communication. So we left with 93%. From the 93%, 38% is your tone of voice, how you say something.
Hmm.
And what we now left with is 55% of communication is body language.
Hmm.
How you are tilting your head, how your eyes are, you know, how you're standing. So a lot of parents get this wrong. And what they need to do is, this is one of the key lessons of today, is we need to be consciously aware of our body language and of our tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times, like you said, you know, sometimes the child wants to speak to you about a certain subject they did badly, or and the parent is not really interested, you know. They, like, mommy is maybe busy in the kitchen, and the child is talking to her, but she doesn't turn around to, you know, give that attention to speak to her. They just carry on doing what they're doing, not thinking anything of it, and they're answering at the same time. Or maybe daddy is sitting in the lounge reading the newspaper or watching TV, and the child comes and talks. Daddy doesn't even move from his newspaper, TV, whatever it is. And so that's negative body language. So what that tells the child subconsciously is, okay, mommy's not interested, daddy's not interested. They go and find somebody who is interested.
Yes.
And this is what's leading to all of these other issues. So,
exactly.
Yeah, one of the signs that we were talking about was this constant criticism, okay? Our children in South Africa are growing up with a lot of negativity. A child growing up in South Africa hears 37 negatives before they hear one positive. They're always hearing, don't go there, don't do this, don't make noise, don't trouble your brother, don't forget to do your homework.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
So many don'ts that the child grows up being negatively conditioned. They know exactly what they don't want. They'll tell you, I don't want to fail. I don't want to do badly. That very rarely do we now know what we do want. And you know, what I've asked, I sit a lot with kids, right? I asked a group of kids, when your parents, or especially, you know, this is what they were told me, especially their moms, when their moms are constantly criticizing them, when they're constantly hearing about all the wrong and the bad that they're doing, what goes through their mind? The vast majority of them told me is they feel that they are not good enough.
Yes, they feel that nobody understands them, they're not good enough, nobody loves them, nobody listens to them. That's the truth. That is 100% correct. But you know what, Junaid, when it comes to parents' expectation versus children's aspirations, like we spoke earlier, you said that, you know what, not everybody are high achievers. Okay, again, son, when we say high achievers, I just want to, you know, I stand to be corrected, but what I'm talking about, not every child may have the opportunity to go to university, or not every child, you know, for whatever reasons. It doesn't mean that you cannot achieve. I mean, not everyone needs to have a degree to achieve well. But the thing is that sometimes we notice, you know, again, you know, when we're dealing with people, that if the parents are very maybe academically inclined, and know if maybe one parent could be, say, in the medical profession, maybe another one in the legal profession or business, and they expect their children to follow in their footsteps. And that was exactly in your article about a very high-profile family where both the mother and the father were very academic, and they were pressurizing their daughter. You know, she's always had the best of marks. And when she got to high school, she realized that, I don't want to do this. I actually want to be a chef. Am I correct? That's exactly what your article said. And we, and every one of us knows somebody in our family or in our circle of friends who has a child who just went totally into a different field. And you know what? That child is happy, alhamdulillah. It's okay. There's no framework that you have to be a doctor or you have to be a lawyer or you have to be an accountant. There's so many other professions. Do what makes you happy. Do what you're passionate about. And you know, they say if you do what you love, you'll never have to work a day in your life.
100%, yeah. Now, you know, there's two things that I want to mention here, Bibi Aisha. One, yes, you can train yourself, you can grow, you can develop, you can go on trainings, you know, to become a high achiever. These things are skills that can be learned, right? That's one. So, yes, you can, you know, put your child, or you can ask the child, what would they like to learn? What new skills would they like to learn? And there's over 50 or 60, you know, skills that can get them to become high achievers. But on the flip side, not, like you said, not everybody needs to go to university and get a degree. Let's look at it statistically again. In South Africa, we only have space for just under 200,000 kids.
True,
in university. Over over 600,000 write the matric exam. So we know not everybody is going to go to university. But what else is, you know, if you look at this on a very different, from a different angle, right now we're living in a world where there are vast majority of dropouts are millionaires, and they are hiring the people with the degrees.
Yes.
So the stark reality is, a degree is not always going to make you, you know, extremely wealthy or successful. And like you said, it's all about what are your passions, what are your strengths, what are your skills, what are your talents. And this is one of the actions that I'd like every parent to do. You know, I'm always...
Junaid, Marv, before we get into the actions, because I would really love for the listeners to make a note of this, we're going to break for an ad, right? Okay. And listeners, please do call us on 011-854-1548. Share your views with us. Tell us about your parenting styles. If there's the youth that's listening, tell us. What does your mom and dad do before you write an exam or before you excel in something that you like? It just makes you feel so better that, you know, that you tell yourself that I'm doing this for my mom or I'm doing this for my dad. So I'd love to listen to you and hear from you. And we're going to continue, inshallah, after the ad break. And Junaid, I'm making notes here as we're talking. So hopefully my listeners are doing that as well. And inshallah, we will return shortly.
Okay, fantastic.
Jazakallah khairan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you tune in to Radio Islam International with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Youth Talk. You know, a very warm welcome to our listeners who are listening to us on Sirius FM as well. I'm looking forward to hearing from you on 011-854-1548. Please call us. Tell us. Today our topic is how much pressure is too much pressure. So tell us, what do you do as a parent to make sure that, you know, your child is performing, your child is striving to be his or her best, but you are motivating your child? Or even if you're one of those parents who really have high expectations, tell us what are you doing. And, you know, inshallah, my guest Junaid Bayat could maybe advise you on how you could just change your strategy to become the friend and not the foe in your child's life. Because too often, you know, it's what we say to children that forms this negative concept that they have. Unfortunately, it filters through their life, even through adulthood. And then that child becomes this dominating, overbearing, high expectations sort of parent. And the vicious cycle continues. We want to break that. We want to break the cycle. So, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to speak to Junaid, to share your concerns with us. So please do call us, like I said, on 011-854-1548. I look forward to hearing from you. Okay, Junaid, before the break, we spoke about parents' expectations versus children's aspirations. And you were going to give us suggestions on, on that topic.
One of the actions that I want listeners to take, you know, in this from this show, and this is where I speak about all over the world when I speak, right? Mm-hmm. It's about families having a vision. Now, one of the key things, every family must have a vision.
Mm.
One of the things they must have in the vision is understanding of each individual in the family. So what you got to do is for each of the child, know what their strengths are. Know what their skills are, know what their talents are, know what they're passionate about. And you got to also know what their personality type is. Because we have a lot of personality types that are misunderstood. Also, you know, coming back to this thing of criticism, right? Let's look at what a solution, what's a good solution to this criticism? Because what happens is, when you're constantly criticizing, especially a child who's depressed, right? When they get frustrated, it leads to that depression. When the depression gets too bad, it leads to, you know, it can lead to suicide.
I've dealt
with over 300 cases of kids who are suicidal, kids who have been, you know, cutting themselves and all of those. All of that. So what we need to do as parents is, number one, you got to focus on giving more praise.
Yeah.
But not the false praise, because currently in society there's a lot of false praise. Like, I mean, you know, some schools you go to and you know, when I get invited to be the guest, and you're giving out certificates to even the person that came out last, you know. So we need that false praise.
Mm-hmm.
We need to now start giving them praise on their efforts. What effort did they make? What action did they take? Irrespective of the results that occurred, we need to start praising their efforts, praise them for every little good thing they do. You know? So you as parents, to overcome this criticism, and always to decide, now look for opportunities to praise the child. Keep looking for opportunities to praising the child. And the other thing is, and this is one of the signs of big, too much pressure in a child, is when you are constantly comparing your child to others.
Yes,
a sibling, a relative, or another child in the class. Because you hear this very often, you know, the parents will say, you know, your brother, he got 7 A's, and you're saying, oh, you know, your cousin is doing so well, your cousin. Now this creates too much of competition that they can't be themselves. Now they always constantly compared to, like very recently, I've had a matric girl, you know, she's 17 years old, and a Muslim girl from one of the prestigious schools that she's going to here in Durban, and she's constantly compared to her cousin, who's in her class. So it's led to so much of stress in her that she now has physical ailments.
Oh, no.
It impacts her physically. And now when I have to bring this up to her parents, you know, it's a tough thing for them, but they now have to stop comparing. So parents, stop comparing your child, your children to other people. Compare them to themselves. You know, we need to move away from this comparison of keeping up with the Joneses, because it has a ripple effect later in life.
Yes.
And how we overcome this is focus on the child, on the child's own growth. So you compare them to themselves. Where were you last term? Where were you last month? Where were you last year? And how have you grown? What have you learned? So you compare them to themselves. And, you know, comparison is the number one killer of self-esteem in kids. So we need to stop comparing.
Definitely. And like I said, especially when, you know, you have more than one child and you're comparing siblings, you know, that sibling rivalry starts from then. And it can just escalate as the children get older. And that's the worst thing. You don't want to be hating or being jealous of your sibling. You want to be proud of your sibling's achievements. So again, parents...
The jealousy of siblings is rampant right now.
Yes. And it's a horrible place for parents to be in, to be in the middle. But then think, you know what, where did that begin? Where did that start?
Now, apart from praise, you know, the other thing that we need to become, and this is also from Sunnah, is we need to be more loving and caring humans. You know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very loving to everybody, not just Muslims, to his neighbors, not everybody. He was very loving and caring. We have become very hard and cold people in society. So we need to show more love. And look, we've grown up in a cycle of tough love. You know, when we grew up as parents, our parents, they told us, I gave you food to eat, I put food on the table, I gave you clothes to wear, I sent you to school, I put a roof over your head. For them, that was love.
This generation
is totally different. They want to hear the I love you. They want the hug. They want it all the time. And to put it in stats again, you know, I like to work with results and clear stats. A child growing up in South Africa requires 7 hugs and I love yous a day.
Okay, please repeat that. Please repeat that. All the mummies and daddies and educators and family members that are listening, please listen to this carefully.
A child growing up in South Africa requires 7 hugs and I love yous minimum a day to grow up confident, right? So what you do the math. You know how many you're giving, how many you're not giving. And I know it's going to be difficult at first. I was in the same boat. I grew up, my father's a disciplinarian with a capital D. Up to today, I can count how many times, you know, my father's hugged me and told me, son, I love you. And that's because of how they grew up. So we need to break this cycle of tough love.
Yes.
You know, at first, when you're going to hug them, yeah, I remember the first time I went to hug my mother, I hugged her and I told her, mommy, I love you. She said, what you did now?
You know? Yeah, because normally, obviously, when you be good, they know that you're trying to cover up. That's true.
So, we need to become very loving and caring people. Love for them, you know, love our kids unconditionally, even when they did bad. That's why I say parents up when the identity is shaped. We need to love our kids unconditionally, not only when they did well, not only when you got a good report card, or not because it's Eid. Love them all the time, unconditionally.
Yeah.
They messed up. That's when you need to be there for them, pick them up. What happened to us? When we messed up as kids, right, this is how we grew up. you got a couple of smacks.
Yeah, I was going to say we got a beating.
Yeah, you got a couple of smacks.
That's true.
You know, but this generation is very different. And this is one of the things that we need to understand as parents is the human needs are not being met currently.
Mm.
Because they're not getting the love and the hugs and the attention. You know, attention is one of the things that's motivating our youth.
Right?
So we grew up, and traditional psychology said you either had the stick or the carrot to motivate people. It was either you motivate them out of pain, which was fear, right? I'm going to give you a tight smack if you don't do this, or you know, they want to avoid the smack, they do it. Or I'm going to give you some money after you do this. And that would motivate them to do something, right? The carrot. Now, what I have found, you know, working with over 110,000 kids, you start seeing the traits. And what has now become a huge motivator in kids is attention. They love attention.
Yes.
If you think about it, what's their social life all about? It's about attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
In school, when they're acknowledged, it's about attention. Even at home. They want attention all the time.
Now, Junaid, I need to ask you something, right? You know, when, again, through observation, you know, with children that we teach at school and, you know, when we go around to different schools, obviously, like we say, parents want the best for their children. But when I see an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, maybe even a 14-year-old child going to school, coming back, getting ready for madrasa, coming back, going for sports practice or going for karate or doing, you know, maybe archery, alhamdulillah, It's good that they're getting, you know, involved in sport, and then they're coming back, and then they're maybe going for maths tuition or going for this tuition, and then they're coming back home to a whole pile of homework. These are children. When do they play? When do you rest? Again, you know, you like now it's school holidays. You know, I'm going to be bumping into parents a lot of the times, you know, in the shopping malls, wherever. And they're going to keep on saying, when do the kids get back to school? You know, I'm so tired. But the thing is that when school's open, you're also so tired because moms and dads are constantly in the car dropping their child off to this lesson, to this workshop, to this tuition, to this. When do you just let your child just be a child? Like, again, there as well, you know, I know that they want their children to excel, but then again, how much is too much? I mean, I've seen children that on holidays, okay, fair enough, it's good to revise your work, it's good to go over, you know, whatever it is that you need to or that you are studying, but then again, it's also time for rest.
Something just struck my mind right now, you know, this year, about this, right, I read my 28th year Tarawih. Right?
Yes.
And one of the key things for this is we have to let kids be kids.
Yes.
And simple answer is less is more.
Yes, that's another thing that I want you to repeat. Less is more.
Less is more is, you know, we need to let them just play. Let them be. Let them be free. Because currently what is happening is parents are bombarding the kids with do this, do that. Their time is so full up that a child has no time to be a child.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they're being groomed to be little adults.
No, it's the truth. It's the truth. And they're scared to have fun. They're scared to have fun.
Why I brought the Tarawih is into it, you know, when you know your work really well. And then after that, if you keep going over it more and more and more, that's when you're bound to make more mistakes. And the same is happening with kids. Like, I'll give you an example. There was a 16-year-old boy who represents his province, right, in a certain field. And what was happening, this guy was a high performer. But he knew his work so well that he didn't need to do homework. When he comes home, he knows the work. But when he gets home, his parents are downloading this worksheets and that work because they don't want to see him being idle. They don't want to see him being free. And this is a common thing. Parents want to keep their kids constantly, you know, busy doing something, being productive. So make sure that your productivity is with purpose. And again, I'm going to say for the third time, less is more.
Yes.
Let them play.
Yes.
Let them go outside. Let them kick a ball. Let them go climb the trees. Something they don't do these days.
No, true. And often, you know, you say sometimes you get parents and caregivers that want to love their life through their child, which is not fair. If you never had an opportunity to do a particular sport or a particular activity and you're forcing your child to do it, maybe your child can't, it's just not meant for your child to be doing that. Maybe he or she doesn't like it. Take them for the lesson once or twice, assess them, and if they like, mommy, I don't like this, or daddy, then let them do what they like.
Let it be, You know, something interesting, I must tell you and the listeners.
Mm.
There was, I was at one of the schools, and we had a program, and, you know, we finished. So I gave, the, and these were little kids. These were 6 years old, 6 year olds, right? They're like grade R and grade one. And what happened was I gave them time to go and play outside, you know, in the jungle gym. And so here's this little 6 year old boy who stands there. And he is looking at these, you know, he's looking at the jungle gym. He's seeing these other kids and stuff. So I asked him, I went and I stood next to him and I asked him, don't you want to go and play? So he looked up at me and he's like, you know, with a weird look, he asked me, am I allowed to go there? Yeah, you can. Go and play. Then he asked me, am I allowed to put my hand in the sand and all that? I said, yeah, go put it all over. What happens is, we're trying to be too perfect.
Exactly. And they don't realize that if these children do not have those skills, you know, for their fine motor and gross motor skills, that child who cannot play in the jungle gym, he's going to have difficulty reading and writing.
Absolutely. It, like you said, their motor skills are fine and, you know, the motor skills get affected later.
Yeah,
so we
definitely
need to let them be kids. And again, I think for the first time, parents, remember, less is more. It's, you know, that giving more and more homework, more learning, more this is creating more too much of pressure.
That's definitely the truth. And rather excel in one or two things than just being mediocre and just sliding by in like 20 things.
Yeah.
I think that would make sense. Now, Janae, we're going to be rounding off soon. So before we round off, right, you know what? I would just like for you to please share your contact details with my listeners and I, because we definitely want you back on Radio Islam. I'm definitely going to be inviting you again soon.
Okay.
And please just share your details with us.
Okay. My contact number is 083-786-9657. My email address is Junaid, J-U-N-A-I-D, at JunaidBayat.com. So Junaid Bayat is J-U-N-A-I-D, and Bayat is
Our
website is www.JunaidBayat.com.
Okay, I think we just have a bit of friction on the side. Can you just please repeat that?
Okay, my, which one, the website?
Your email address, please. Okay, we got that. Let's just see what the sound is. A little bit of friction on my side here, but okay, I'll just repeat that. The email is Junaid, J-U-N-A-I-D, at JunaidBayat.com. So JunaidBayat.com. Okay, and then also, what we're going to do is we're going to be rounding up shortly. Junaid, just one last piece of advice that you can share with our listeners. How much pressure is too much pressure? What are your views? Quickly. Okay. I think Janine, what we're going to do, my engineer is going to try calling you back because it seems like there's a bit of friction on our side. We cannot hear your valuable words of wisdom. To our listeners, you know, we're going to try and get back to Janine quickly. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, these are aspects that you read about all the time. People are talking about all the time. Parental involvement, it's so good to know what your children are doing, especially in this time when life is gone so fast. You need to be hands-on. I agree. We fully agree. But sometimes it can be too much. And we need these reminders from time to time. Me as an educator as well, sometimes I could also have very high and unrealistic expectations on the learners that I engage with. And I need this reminder myself. So we have Junaid back online with us. Junaid, your parting shot, please.
Okay.
Better
parenting strategies, two things, right? Number one, have a plan. Have a growth plan. And set it up, not yourself, with your child. It's because what happens is a lot of parents like to control everything the kids do. So here you want, you know, a consultative way in which you sit with the child and let's discuss. What are we going to learn this term? What skills would you like to develop? What are some new things, you know, you would like to discover? And this is how you would actually go about creating a growth plan for them.
Okay.
And set it out per term.
you know, that's 90 days. Every 90 days, what is one new skill they can learn? What is one new aspect that they can learn about, something about society, something about, you know, the world, what's going on? So it's very important that you now create these growth plans and you not controlling everything in their lives. That's the two big things I would say. Don't just, you know, try to micromanage everything and tell them when they're doing it, what they're doing. Sit down, plan it out. Even their time, the time schedule. You want to sit down and teach them discipline. It's one of the, you know, factors of success is discipline. So sit with them, plan out the week. Mm-hmm. How would you like to be doing this on this time? Or how's your day here? Are you free on this time? What would you like to be doing here? You know, sit down and teach them to plan their time out. It's one of the, you know, things that the resources that everybody wants, time.
Yes.
So
yes.
Create a growth plan every 90 days. And, you know, plan out their time with them every week.
No, that's very brilliant. That's brilliant. I can't thank you enough for making the time to be with us on the show today.
Shukran for giving me the opportunity.
Only a pleasure. Always so great to have you on the show. We learned so much from you. And inshallah, we will be chatting to you again soon, inshallah.
Shukran. Allah bless you.
Ameen. Afwan. And wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, my beloved listeners, hopefully, you know, we've grown from the show. We've learned from it. Like I said, it's a reminder for me as well because I engage with the youth constantly. And you know what? The pressure that we put on the children, we make them forget that, you know, we love them for just who they are, and that's why they need to be remembered. We appreciate your efforts, we love you for who you are, and you're special, and that's important. That's what children need to be reminded. Okay, next week, Saturday, inshallah, we're going to be talking to an ophthalmic surgeon who's going to be talking to us about visual issues affecting our youth today, you know, eye issues. You know, nowadays, the rise in cornea transplants, the rise in children wearing spectacles from such young age. Is technology to be blamed for all of this? So we're going to be talking about all of these. If you have any concerns, any questions, you know, we will have a doctor in the studio that you can be chatting to and getting your questions answered. Inshallah, have a great week ahead. Please remember us in your du'as, and for myself and my engineer, we wish you a beautiful week, and please remember us in your du'as, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.